Good morning. Today's daf in Yevamos Kuf Chaf Aleph, second to last daf here in the Masechta. We're in the 16th parak of the Masechta. We're discussing identification of a person in order to allow his wife to remarry. The Mishnayos, really yesterday's Mishnah, began this discussion. So what do you need to see? So you need to see the face. The face is going to be a super simon, and therefore if you see the face, so you can properly identify the person. And between the Mishnah and the Gemara yesterday, so we saw that you have to see the entire face. Another basic yisod in terms of identifying a person is that you have to have seen him actually die. If, let's say, you see a critical wound, but you didn't see the actual death, so the Mishnah says that's insufficient. So back in the Mishnah gives a couple of descriptions. Afilu ra meguyad, let's say you saw a limb that was cut off, Vitzelof, or he was left hanging. He was consumed by an animal, wild animal. So unless you see the actual death itself, so you cannot testify towards the person's death. We are in the Gemara on Kuf Chaf Amud Beis, about nine lines down from the bottom. The Amud at the two dots. Achayo Chelos V'chulei V'Amr Rav Yehuda Mishmul Lo Shana Olam Mamakom She Nafsho Yotzas. Ava Mimakom She Nafsho Yotzam Eden. Let's say he got a critical wound to a critical area, right? So let's say he was stabbed in the heart, eaten in the heart. In other words, so we're talking now about a vital organ. So under those circumstances, so now you can testify that the person died, even though you didn't see the actual death. The Amar Rav Yehuda Mishmol Shachar Boshaim or Rav Shaim Uvarach Meiden. Similarly, let's say you see a person's throat was slit. All this, by the way, is very morbid and extraordinarily graphic. So I should have said so on the front end. But I'm assuming that if you've been following the daf up until now, you kind of know what's coming today. So let's say his throat was slit to the point where both of the simanim were cut, both the trachea and the esophagus were cut. So this is what you and I normally call shchita. Right, by an animal, that's great. In other words, that's what you need to do by an animal. But unfortunately, we're talking about a person. And let's say both of the simanim were cut, and you didn't see the person actually die, but in other words, that's it. In other words, he's going to die. And therefore, you can testify about the death of the person, despite the fact that you didn't see the actual death. Ini, Gemara says, is this true? Is this accurate? V'amr Rav Yehuda Mishmol, Shachar Boshaim, Rav Shaim, V'ramaz, V'amr Kis V'get, Lishi Hare Eli Yichtuvo V'yidnu. So let's say the person, after having his throat slit, so then he commissioned the writing of a get for his wife. Again, why would he do that? As we've discussed already numerous times, it could very well be that he would like to spare her from the mitzvah of Yibum. And so therefore, for her, the status of being a divorcee versus a widow is a preferred status. So therefore, he can commission the writing of the get immediately after his throat was slit. So the Gemara says, Chayu v'sof olamo. So the answer is probably you would have guessed is that the death is not instantaneous, meaning the death will come in moments, but those moments will allow him to the commissioning of the writing of the get. And so therefore, basically, what comes out is that the person is going to die. There is no other prognosis. It just happens to be that he will have a couple of moments in order to commission the writing of the get. So, elameyati egol al yado, fine. So we've just established that when a person has both of his simanim that are cut, that are severed, so the person is going to die. Maybe not instantaneously, but he will die. So therefore, if let's say accidentally you did that to somebody, so you should be going into galus, right? This is the second paragraph of Makos that we are looking at right now. Not physically, but this is where galus is discussed in detail in Shas. And so the Gemara now wants to know, if it's murder, if you did it intentionally, it should be galus if done unintentionally. So Alama Tanya, meanwhile, the Brisa says, Shachar Shnayim or Rov Shnayim, Harei Zeh Negola. Meanwhile, we have a brisa that says that if you accidentally slit somebody's throat, so you're not going to be sent into galus. Why not? Meaning this is something where if done intentionally, you would be chayv misa. So the Gemara says, Hayit mar lam, Rav Oshia, chayshin shema aruch babalaso, inami shema ihu kir of misa sam. So really interesting, the Gemara says you have to take into account contributing factors. Meaning that it could very well be that after you slit his throat, so it could be that there is wind, that air that went in there, and that contributed to his death. Grama. Now, right, it's kind of like grama, but in other words, that you did something that certainly would lead to his death, but there could be contributing factors that would accelerate the death. Tosfos over here on the bottom of the Amud has a short but important discussion regarding are we going to say that if somebody murders somebody, do we look at contributing factors by murder? So Tosfos says absolutely not. Meaning if you did something that would critically wound the individual and it by itself would lead to his death, you for sure considered a murderer. It just happens to be that when it comes to shogeg, so this is a detail that exists only in the realm of shogeg, says Tosfos. Why that should be, see Tosfos for a possible explanation. But anyway, so contributing factors is only an issue when it comes to shogeg. Meanwhile, one of two possible concerns. Number one, air that goes in there, and that's going to contribute and accelerate the death. Or two, is that he did, in other words, he was flailing and agitating, and he himself accelerated his own death. So my beinayus. So the Gemara says now the nafkaminas would be deshachtim bebeis deshisha uparche. So one nafkamina would be where you shechted him in a airtight room where there's no wind that's coming in, but he agitated. So if I went with the first reason, that's not a concern. But if I went with the second reason, that would be a concern. Inami. Alternatively, shechte bebra velo parche. So you shechted him outside, but he didn't agitate. So again, whichever reason you think is the contributing factor, so if I just took it out, that would be the nafkamina between the two possible contributing factors. Okay. So basically, it's not a standard rule, but you have to see the actual death in order to testify that the person died. There will be, however, critical wounds and critical blows where you can testify even though you didn't see the actual death. We're on Kuf Chaf Aleph Amud Aleph. We are three lines down. Rabbi Yehuda Amar Lo Chol V'Chulei. Okay, Rabbi Yehuda says that it's not just a three-day window, meaning from the time of death until the time where you actually had a visual of the person, of the remains, so then you could properly identify the person. But after 3 days, so decomposition now is set in and settled in so intensely that you can't properly identify the individual. That is the Tanakama Shita. And Rav Yehuda says, 3 days, you can't give an absolute, a constant figure for that. A lot of it's going to be depending on variables, the heat of the day, how directly the remains were in sunlight. There are a number of factors to take into consideration. It's not 3 days. It's not a constant 3 days. Okay, so we know Rav Yehuda is objecting to the idea that it's not 3 days. Where is he? Less than 3 days, more than 3 days, or there's a third option, of course, as well. Could be sometimes less, sometimes more. So that's exactly the Gemara's question. Nibai Luhu. Rav Yehuda ben Bava Lekula Palig O Lechumra Palig. So is he trying to be more lenient? Is he trying to be more strict? And as Tosfos points out, there really is a third possibility, which is he can fluctuate depending on the variables. So Tashma Deugavra Tatava Bekame Vasku. So the person who died in a kerem, in a vineyard, and they brought him up. So the visual of the body was post 3 days after the person died, and so therefore it was extended. And obviously he was following the sheet of Rav Yehuda ben Bava, and so therefore Rav Yehuda ben Bava, as per his understanding, was being makel. He was being lenient. A person drowned in the Tigris River. Ve'askuhu agishra deshavisisna. And he was brought up to the bridge. Ve'ansave ravala devasaya apuma deshushbane labasar chamisha yuma. And it was 5 days later after death, and still proper identification was done. 5 days post-mortem. So over here, clearly, what we're doing is that we're extending. So the Gemara makes down the following assertion, and that is that here's their understanding, that they were relying on the sheet of Rav Yehuda ben Bava with the understanding that Rav Yehuda ben Bava was being makel, right? That seems to be the most plausible explanation. So two things that we just saw together. Number one, they're relying on Rav Yehuda ben Bava's position. And number two, their understanding of Rav Yehuda ben Bava's position, that he was being more lenient. So the Gemara says, now, if your understanding of Rav Yehuda ben Bava is that Rav Yehuda ben Bava, when he said not 3 days, he meant less than 3 days, so then we have two case studies in which identification was done more than 3 days from the time of death. And now, if Rav Yehuda ben Bava is being machmir, who are these rabbis following? They're not following the Tanakama, which is only a 3-day window. And they're not following Rav Yehuda ben Bava if Rav Yehuda ben Bava was being machmir. So So the Gemara says, Shani Maya, did some say? So the Gemara says, well, here's what you could suggest. Maybe you could suggest if they were following the Chachamim, and that you have a 3-day window. Proper identification was done even later than 3 days. Maybe over here that you have to take water into consideration. Meaning in this case, it's over here, the dead was submerged in water. Maybe the water was a preservative. V'harmat Maya Marzumaka. So the Gemara says, wait 1 second. Remember just yesterday's daf, we talked about how water only agitates and causes a person to die, right? Remember the person who was wounded and left in the water, and we assumed that because he was in the water, so he bled out. That's what we talked about yesterday. So which way are we going with water? Is water going to only agitate, or is water going to be preserving? So the Gemara says, Hani mil hechadi kamaka, val hechadale kamaka, mitzmas samis. So the Gemara says, okay, if there's an open wound and the person's in the water, the person will bleed out. Like we discussed yesterday, if there's no open wound and the person's in the water, maybe the water will serve as a preservative. So the Gemara says, but that's only if he was taken out immediately. But if he was left inside, so he's only going to bloat. The body's only going to be absorbing the water and the person's going to bloat. Okay. Again, this is a lot of forensic science over here in terms of from their perspective, what's going to allow for proper identification, what's not going to allow for proper identification. We're at the Mishnah. Kuf, Chafalaf, Amad Aleph, Nafal, Le Mayim. So we're going to be discussing now somebody who fell into a body of water. So Bein Sheyesh Lam Sof, Bein Sheein Lam Sof, Isha Asura. So according to the Tanakhama, there's no distinction to be made with water that has a limit and water does not have a limit. In a moment, we're going to try to better identify and define what exactly it means. Mayim Sheyesh Lam Sof. Water does that have limits to it. So hold on for that in just a moment. It will be hopefully clarified. In the meantime, however, according to the Tanakhama, if somebody falls into a body of water, even though you didn't see the body emerge, all you see is the person went down, so you cannot testify regarding his wife. Am Rabbi Meir Maisa be'echa shenafal abor agadova Allah la'achar shlosh yamim. So Rabbi Yossi says there was an incident where somebody fell into a body of water and came up later, 3 days later. Am Rabbi Yossi Maisa besuma shiar litval b'mara, somebody who was blind, who went to Tovel in a cave, a yared, Moshcho acharav, Vishal kedei, Shetetse nafsham, Visius nishoseim. And they waited until the amount of time that it would take him to die in that body of water in that cave, and they allowed the women to remarry. Vishuv Maisa ba'asya, another incident that occurred in Asia. Again, Asia probably is Asia, but that doesn't mean that we know geographically where it is. Okay, but either way. So what happened was that someone was lowered into a body of water, and Rachmanis, the only thing that came out, was only his leg. It depends what kind of amputation we're talking about. If it was below the knee, that's a survivable event. But if it was above the knee, so then it was not survivable. And so the person died. We're going to assume that the person died and his wife would be allowed to remarry. Okay. Tana Rabbanan. So in the Mishnah over here, we're basically talking about people who got lost in a body of water and whether or not there is going to be grounds for allowing his wife to remarry. Here the Gemara quotes a Braisa, Nafal Amayim, Bein Shein Shalom Sof, Bein Shein Lan Sof, Isha Asura Divrei Meimer. So once again, we're going to be presenting the same information we saw in the Mishnah. The formatting over here is that the Tanakhama of our Mishnah is none other than Rav Meir. Well, that's clear now. So Rav Meir says that you fall into a body of water, so we always have to be concerned that the person survived. We didn't see the person emerge. There's a chance. There's a chance that he emerged. And we're going to hold on to that chance and be stringent on the man's wife, and we're going to tell her that she cannot remarry. If the water has limits, so then his wife is going to be mutter. But if the water does not have limits, so then the wife is going to be asur. Okay, so what we now see, and we saw this in the Mishnah, but it's really clear here in the Braisa, is that there's a distinction in terms of bodies of water. Bodies of water that have limits, right? I'm using very ambiguous words, I know. Again, we're going to try to clarify in just a moment. But water that have limits, so that means to say that his wife is going to be mutter. Meaning that if, in fact, he emerged, we would have seen it. We would have seen it happen. And by virtue of the fact that we didn't see emergence, so therefore we can assume, safely assume, the person died. On the other hand, if it's maim she'ein lahem sof, if it doesn't have limits to it, so then we have to assume that there's a chance of survival, and it was unbeknownst to us. Okay. Hei chidami maim she'ish lahem sof. So, we know there's a distinction. Okay, so what we're going to try to do is understand it just a little bit better. What does that mean? Maim she'ish lahem sof. So, amar abaye, kol she'amad v'ro me'ar ba rucho sof. Where basically, where you're standing on the body of water, and you could see, basically, I'm going to call the shoreline. Okay, I'm not sure if what I'm saying is accurate and good, but it's basically, you could see the shorelines on all four sides. Meaning that if, in fact, he would emerge, we would have seen him come out. In other words, so it's a, right, it's a lake, but from where I'm situated right now, I could see all four sides of the shoreline. I know that if he survived, we would have seen it come out. On the other hand, if it's a really big lake, or for that matter, an ocean, or a really large body of water, right? Just last week where I was by the Gulf of Mexico, that is a huge body. There's no difference between the Gulf of Mexico and the Atlantic Ocean. It's the same unending water. So over there, so that is Maim She'ein Lahem Sof. And what's the concern? The concern is that he went down, maybe pushed by currents, emerged well out of your view. Okay. And that's why by Maim She'ein Lahem Sof, we have to be concerned. The Gemara tells a number of stories. How Gavra Datava Ba'agma Desamke. So, a person drowned. Agma Desamke is like some sort of marsh. That's what Rashi describes it. So, Ansava Rav Shila Devasayu. So, Rav Shila allowed his wife to remarry. So, Amale Rav Lishmol Ta Nishamte. So, Rav says to Shmuel, so that psak that was offered by Rav Shila, so that was a extraordinarily provocative psak. It seems to have been irresponsible. Mm-hmm. In other words, and we should put the person in Chirim, not person, Rav Shila. We should put Rav Shila in Chirim. So this is what Rav says to Shmuel. Because again, it was water. We're in a moment we're about to describe a little bit better. But there was a chance that the husband survived, and yet he allowed the wife to remarry. And so he felt that that was a dereliction of his rabbinic responsibilities. So Amar Lei Nishlach Lei Bereisha. So Shmuel says to Rav, before we put him in Chayrim, so how about this? Let's first have a conversation with him. Let's try to understand a little bit better what he was thinking. Shalchu Lei, so they sent him the following letter. Maim Shein Lam Sof Ishto Asur O Materis. So, if it's water with no limits, so what's the story regarding a wife? Is she allowed to remarry? So, Shalach Lehu, Ishto Asura. So, he gave what is the correct answer, meaning it's what we just learned together. Maim She'ein Lahem Sof. So, again, because of the chance that the person survived, unbeknownst to the observer, so therefore, we cannot allow his wife to remarry. Good. And he said over the halacha. The Agma Desamki, Maim She'ish Lahem Sof, or Maim She'ein Lahem Sof. Now, this Agma Desamke, again, the marsh that we are trying to describe over here. So, which category does it fall into? So, Shalach Lehu, Maim She'ein Lahem Sof. So, he said, oh, I know which category it falls into. It's Maim She'ein Lahem Sof. It doesn't have a limit. Meaning, so we cannot see the ends of this body of the water. Oh. So, my time, Avad Hachi. So, so why did you do that? Meaning, on what basis did you allow the wife to remarry? Okay, good. In other words, putting all the information together that you yourself know, so now it seems to be that your psak halacha, allowing the wife to remarry, is a unjustifiable psak. So, mit e te'ina ana. So, he said, okay. He said, I made a mistake. Savri came into kava v'kaime kamayim she'yesh lahem sof dame, because I thought that, look, even though it is a massive body of water, but there are no currents. No. So it's a stagnant body of water. And so I thought that because it was a stagnant body of water, so if he went down, he would come up in the same place. Because there's no currents to push him elsewhere. Velohi, Kevin Dika Gale, Amar Gali Ashpalu. And so they said to him, no. In other words, there are currents over there. There are waves. Now again, waves over here, right? I'm not sure. I'm not really sure what they're even describing, but probably what they mean is that even though there's no perceivable currents, but there are still currents. Okay, right, so called, if I could just share with everybody the little information that I know. So the Everglades has a current. Right. Yeah, okay, fine. Right, it looks like a stagnant body of water. So there's a current. So over here, so basically what they corrected him on is that you thought that this was a stagnant body of water. It's not. It has a current. Okay. So Kari Shmo Allah the Rav. So Lo Yonel Atzadik Kol Oven. Okay, so so now Rav and Shmuel have a debriefing. Meaning what happened was is they went to Rav Shila, they discussed it with him. It was a unbelievable, reasonable discussion, and Rav Shila basically admitted, you're right, I made a mistake. Okay. What are we doing now with the wife who's remarried? We will come back to that in just a moment. But anyway, but he just admitted he made a mistake. Okay, good. So when you put somebody in Cherem, when the person is rebellious, this person wasn't, Rav Shila wasn't rebellious. He just simply made a mistake. A mistake in his judgment. So now, Shmuel and Rav, debriefing the whole situation, they say to each other, Baruch Hashem. Baruch Hashem that we talked to him, Baruch Hashem that we didn't put him in Cherem because he didn't deserve to be put in Cherem. Like, in other words, Baruch Hashem all around. So, Kari Shmuel, the Rav lo yinu l'tzadik kolavin. So, Shmuel notes about Rav that HaKadosh Baruch Hu protects him. HaKadosh Baruch Hu does not allow him to stumble and violate Navera. Meaning, if Rav would have put the Rav Shila in Cherem and it wasn't justified, that's on Rav. Meaning, that's now going to be on Rav's scorecard of, you put somebody in Cherem that didn't deserve it. And Kari Rav Allah de Shmuel, v'chuas barov yuatz. And Rav said regarding Shmuel, right, another pasuk in Mishle, basically a description of, you give great etzas. Meaning your etzah to me that we should go and talk to him, that was a fantastic etzah. Okay. Tanya, we learned in the Braisa, Rabbi Maisa b'shnei b'nei Adam, mecharim machmurim b'yardein, v'nichnasecha mehem l'mechila v'shol dagim v'shaka chama v'lo ra'a. So there was an incident with two people. What were they by trade? Trappers. Okay, fishermen. Anyway, so they were going in the Yarden, and one of them went into a mechila shel dagim, so fish cave, and the sun set. V'lo ra'a pischa shel mechila v'shal chavero kedei shetetze nafsho. And now, unfortunately, he went into some sort of underground fish cave, and he was there for a really long period of time, more time than a person can survive underwater. And so his friend waited until the amount of time that lapsed. Okay. The Uvava Odia Besoch Beso. And then he went over to the house that night in order to report the really unfortunate news that their husband died. So Lamachar Zachar Chamavikir Pischa Mechilo Vau Matza Hespe Gadol Besoch Beso. And then the next morning, so the person who was submerged in the fish cave, so he came out. And what did he find? It was a huge funeral for him. So he was attending his own funeral. So Amar Rabbi, Kama Gedolim Divrei Chacham, Sham Ramayim She Yesh Lam Sof Ishto Muter, She Ein Lam Sof Ishto Asura. And the Chachamim said, fantastic, fantastic. Meaning that, in other words, we have to pay careful attention to what the Chachamim taught us. Mayim She Ein Lam Sof, if it's waters that have no limits, so then we have to assume that he was swept away. Mayim She Yesh Lam Sof, so then we don't have to worry. And the Chachamim were right. Okay, so ihach imaim sheish lamsof nami lelechush lemechila shol dagim. So the Gemara says, so if this is in fact the case, so if waters have limits, let's be concerned that there's some sort of fish cave. Meaning, we just now introduced a new factor in our whole discussion, and that is fish caves. Meaning, maybe there's some sort of subterranean cave. So b'maim sheish lamsof mechila shol dagim lo shchicha. So the Gemara says, okay, but just the reality of the world is such is that if we're talking about a finite body of water where I could see the limits on all four sides, so there's not going to be any subterranean caves. I'm Rav Ashi, Hadam Rabbanim She'in Lemsof, Ishto Asura, Hanu Milibinish Ba'ad Da'ama, Aval Surmim Rabbanim Lo, Idasalat Kala Islay. So what Rav Ashi tries to do is, he tries to temper the halacha a little bit. And that is that even though we said that if you have these large masses, large bodies of water, with the concern that maybe the person came up somewhere else, the current took him, and he emerged somewhere else, and maybe he did survive. So Rav Ashi's adding now that that's true if the person who fell into the water is not a Talmid Chacham. But if the person is a Talmid Chacham, Back in the day, Talmud Chacham had tremendous notoriety. And if he would have emerged somewhere else, we would have heard about it. This is the argument of Rav Ashi. Velohi. And the Gemara just simply dismisses this argument. Loshna, inish da'ama, veloshna, tzomer rabbanan. Diavidin lechatchil alo. Doesn't matter. Meaning whether the person is a Talmud Chacham or not. The halacha is that if it's maim she'ein lahemsof, if it's a limitless body of water, I can't see all four sides. So we have to be concerned that he was swept away by a current, but actually survived. And therefore we cannot allow his wife to remarry. The Gemara acknowledges over here that b'di'evid in, that if post facto, if she does remarry, so b'di'evid will allow her to remarried. But ideally, a priori, cannot allow her to remarry. Okay, right. Terrible questions to ask. I happen to be right now in a luxurious spot of not needing to answer these questions. So I'm being serious, meaning, right? I would be, in other words, I wouldn't be the person answering these questions. That's number one. And number two, right now I'm in a really comfortable position. And Rachmanis, when a Rav is now forced to be in a position where he's asked to answer these questions, you go to the top. These are questions that you go directly to the top. Tanya, we learned in a Braisa. Amren Gomulel Pam Achas Ayisim Alech Besfina, Verisi Sfina Achash Nishbara. So there was one time I was on a boat and I saw another boat that just broke down in the water. Vaisim Mitzar Al Tamil Chacham Sheba. Umani Rabbi Akiva. Now it happened to be that I knew that Rabbi Akiva was a passenger on that boat. Uchishali to be avasha baviyasha v'dan lifnei lifanai ba'alacha amartili bini mi halcha. And meanwhile, when I got to shore, so who did I see giving shear? I saw Rabbi Akiva. So I'm lo. So I asked Rabbi Akiva, "No, how'd you do that? How'd you survive?" So I'm lo daf shalshin and his dominly. So I had the board of one of the boat. In other words, the boat broke apart. I held on to a board. And every time we had another wave come, so I just put my head down, right, in order to basically survive every wave. And the Chachamim said, okay, so we could say this about waves, and we could say this about people that really bother you, people that come by that really bother you. So what do you do? So you put your head down. Amarti ba'oso shah kam gildol and divrei chacham shamru maim sheish lam sof mutaris maim shein lam sof asura. And once again, marveling at the chachmas hachachamim. All right, how wise and sage they are that they made this distinction between maim sheish lam sof and maim shein lam sof. And when it's maim shein lam sof, the person really can survive, even though we didn't see the person come up from the water. But again, could be that the current just pushed him away out of our view, and there is a chance of survivability. This Gemara was made famous, right, Rabbi Fran? How many siyums ago? I don't remember. But a number of siyums ago says that how do we survive in our world? So he says, right, he quotes the Gemara right over here. Right, they made it into a poster. I had the poster hanging in my sukkah. So the Amr Lee, Daf Shel Sfinan is Dominly. I was holding on to the Daf. Okay. Big plug for the Daf Yomi. Tanya, we learned in another Bryce. Amr Rabbi Akiva, Pamachas, Isim Alach Bisfina. Verisa Sfina Achash, and Shemich Fras Bayam. So over here, another story. Rabbi Akiva, in this version of the story, is the observer. And Vayisi Mitzal Tamidach Chacham Shabo Umanu Rabbi Meir. And he was looking at another boat that went down, and Rabbi Meir was on that boat. Ukish Alisalim Dina Kaputkia Bavyasha Vadan Lefanai Bahalacha. And meanwhile, I came up to the town of Kaputkia, and I see Rabbi Meir darshaning. So Amalo Bini Mihelcha. Nu, how did you survive? So Amrli Gal Tardin lechaver vechaver lechaver ad shikiani leviyasha. I was thrown from one wave to another wave to another wave, and I was vomited up to the shoreline. Amarti ba'osa shah kama gedolim divrei chacham shamru ma'im sheish lemsof ishto muteres ma'im shein lemsof ishto asura. For now, the third or fourth time this morning, we are now marveling at the chachma. We're making a distinction between ma'im sheish lemsof and ma'im shein lemsof. Tana Rabbanan. Nafal gova rayos, ein meidan alav lechafura malei nechashim va'akravim meidan alav. Person falls into a pit. If there are lions in the pit, but that's all you saw. In other words, you didn't see what happened after that point in time. So you can't testify that the person died. You don't know. On the other hand, if we're talking about snakes, scorpions, and he fell into the pit of snakes and scorpions, so now, even though you didn't see what happened after that point in time, you can assume the person died. Rabbi Yehuda ben Bezerra, Amar Afla Chafur, Malayna Chashem Vakravim, Mei Me'idam Alav. Even if the person fell into a pit of snakes and scorpions, you cannot testify if you didn't see the actual death. Chai Shinan, Shema Chaverhu. Because we're afraid that the person, he may be a chaver, he may know how to charm the snakes and the scorpions. And so if a charmer falls into the pit, so he may save himself using some sort of incantation. Now I know, generally speaking, we're not allowed to engage in that kind of behavior. Presumably we would be allowed to if in fact our life was at stake and it would save our lives, meaning that would be a classic example of pikuach nefesh. Yeah, so first of all, it's the incidents of Yosef. It's a good connection. But the incidents of Yosef, they didn't care if he died or didn't die, meaning they, as far as they were concerned, they just wanted to get rid of him. And they were going to report his death regardless of what happened to him. So, but yeah, right.
But he did not die.
Correct. Maybe he charmed the snakes. It's a fair question. I don't know. The Tana Kama. Now the Tana Kama does not subscribe to this idea. Agav itzitza maskilei. So in other words, what happened was he fell into the pit of snakes and scorpions. So that means that he bumped up against one of them. He agitated them. You agitate them, forget about it. At that point in time, there's nothing to talk about. You could charm all you want. They're not interested in being charmed. Tana Rabbanan, we are in Kuf Chaf Aleph Amud Beis, top of the Amud, second line down. So let's say you fall into a furnace, so they can testify about you. Now I know the most famous examples of people falling into the furnace survived. That's what's called an ace. So in other words, that's miraculous. In other words, we assume miracles don't happen under normal circumstances. In other words, Kadosh Baruch Hu created the world with natural order, and so natural order means that if you fall into a furnace, you're gonna die. Okay, so Avram Avinu, Chananya, Mishael, and Azariah. Thank you. Okay, just lost my head for a moment. So they in fact survived. Yeah, but that's called an ace. So those are the exceptions. The rule is you're going to die. So liyorim aleya yain v'shem amidin alav. So let's say you fall into a vat of boiling either oil or wine. So you are, even though the person didn't see you actually die, but that's going to result in death. Now, Mishum Rabbi Acha Amru Shel Shemen Me'idin Alav Mimneshu Mav'ir Shel Yayin Ein Me'idin Alav Mimneshu Mechabeh. And so Rav Acha says a distinction to be made whether you fell into a boiling vat of wine versus oil. If you fell into oil, so what's going to happen is that you're going to, and I know this is gruesome, and I apologize for being... the halachas that we need to go over, and whatever. I'm not going to get overly emotional, but that's just my general nature. So as he's flailing in the vat of oil, so oil is only going to accelerate and burn up even more. Meaning some of the oil is now going to spill over and just excite the flames. And provide fuel for the flame. On the other hand, when it comes to wine, so as he's splashing around in the wine, so what's going to end up happening is the wine is going to put out the fire. Amrlo tchilaso mechabe v'sofa mavir. And so they said no. So yes, temporarily the flames may subside a little bit, but eventually the flames are only going to grow and increase. The Chachamim said to Rav Acha, there is no distinction in terms of what kind of vat he fell into. Amr Rav Meir Maisa Becha Shenafala Bor Hagadol Tanya Amr Lola Rav Meir Ein Maskirin Maisa Nisan. So Rav Meir tells a story in the Mishnah, and the response is to Rav Meir, okay, that was miraculous, and so that cannot form the halacha, right? Something happens miraculously. Okay, good. So a miracle occurred. For Kadosh Baruch Hu in his Hashkacha decided that this person is going to miraculously survive. As far as halacha is concerned, halacha does not rely on miracles. Halacha is going to be based on natural order. So my maisa nisimi lemedelo achav lo ishti. So the Gemara says, now, what was the miracle? In other words, it was 3 days. So what was miraculous? So the Gemara says, the fact that the person didn't eat for 3 days, so that's possible. Esther mandated that everyone needs to fast for 3 consecutive days. So obviously there is an ability to survive. She wouldn't be demanding all of Klal Yisrael to do that if you needed a miracle for people to survive. So it's not miraculous that a person can fast for 3 consecutive days. That is within the realm of natural order. Ela Dolonayim. So the Gemara says what's impossible is the person went without sleep for 3 days. That's miraculous. I'm Rav Yochanan Shavua Shlo Ishan Shloshiyamim Malkanasov Yishan La'alter. The halacha the Gemara goes over numerous occasions is that a person makes a shavua, I'm not going to sleep for 3 consecutive days. That's what's called the shavua shav. It's impossible. You make a shavua shav, so immediately you get malchus just for making the shavua shav. And of course, because it's impossible, so it's not going to take hold. You can go to bed immediately. Rav Meir, my time, I'm Rav Kahana, keeping agav keeping havu. So the Gemara says, now as far as Rav Meir is concerned, why did you feel that this was not a miracle? Because basically what you had is that you had arches in which he can, even though he was standing up, but he can lean against the arches in order to take a nap. Rabbanan deshisha havu. The Chachamim say they were marble arches, and you can't. In other words, they weren't horizontal. Rameir yefsha delo masrich v'nayim porta. And Rameir says no, you can lean against them, and even though you're vertical, not horizontal, still you can take a small nap. Okay, so a funny way to end off this debate between Rameir and the Chachamim, the incident that Rameir is using to support his position wasn't miraculous. Was it not miraculous? And we're debating, they are debating this very issue. Tana Rabbanan Maisa Bebito Shanachun Yechol for Shichin. The Gemara tells another story. Dare say that this is a famous story, but we've heard this already a couple times in Shas. We get to hear it again at the end of Yevamos. So Nechumya Chofer Shichin. So he was he dug holes in the ground, and Rashi says for the purposes of mitzvah. Look at Rashi Chofer Shichin la ole regalim umayim miskansim behem vayushos simbo uvehemtan. So basically, what he allowed for is people to make aliyah l'regel. So he created all the public water sources. So as you're walking up to Yerushalayim, and it's a multiple day journey, so you're able to stop by these pits in order to access water for you and for your animals. Okay, Shenafa Lebor Hagadol. So his daughter fell into a big pit of water. Uvalva Odil the Rebbe Chanina Bendosa. So they report this to Rebbe Chanina Bendosa. Shah Rishona Amarlem Shalom. Shni Amarlem Shalom. Shlishas Amarlem Alta. So the first hour they reported to him, he says, "We're everything's fine." Second hour, again, everything's fine. Third hour, he said she emerged from the pit. And he knew all this without seeing anything. Amar la biti mil halcha. So they say to her, how did you get out? Meaning, you were submerged. How did you come out? So Amar lo zachar shal rechelim nizdam nili. V'zakin manhigo. And she said that there were rams over there. And an elderly man was leading the rams. Okay, Rashi writes over here that this is a reference to the Isle of Yitzhak Avinu. And the elderly man was Avram Avinu. Okay, so she was miraculously saved. Amrulo Naviata. So they all turn to now Rabbi Chanan Mendoza, who is privy to all this information without knowing. How do you know this? They asked him, are you a Navi? Amrulam lo Navi anochi v'lo ben Navi anochi. And he said, no, I'm not a Navi. I'm not the son of a Navi. Eladavisha asadik misasik bo yichasha bo zaro. But meanwhile, it can't be. Meaning that this is what he does for a living. He digs holes for water sources. And it's not going to be that his children are going to be dying in such a unusual manner and going against the mitzvah that he's been accomplishing his whole life. Amar Rabbi Abba, Avapikain, Meis Ben Obitsama, Shenemar Svivav Nishara Me'od, or Nisara Me'od. Despite the fact that his daughter did not die in the water, but his son died as a result of starvation, or in this case, by dehydration. The pasuk in Tehillim, Svivav Nisara Me'od. Malamisha Kadosh Baruch Hu Medaktik Im Svevav Kechot HaSa'ara. Kadosh Baruch Hu deals with those that they're really close with him, to the width of a hair. Meaning a Kadosh Baruch Hu is very medaktik with those people who are really righteous. Rabbi Chanina Amar Me'achal El Naratz Besod Kedoshim Rabba V'Nara Al Kol Svivav. Rabbi Chanina cites another pasuk. Okay, it's a little bit strange in terms of how to make sense of the Gemara. Meaning, as far as his daughter is concerned, the daughter of Nechunya. So Rabbi Chanina promised everybody, guaranteed everybody, she's not going to be dying because, you know, he's supplying water for a living, right? The father for the Ole Regalim. And then, oddly enough, awkwardly enough, and tragically enough, the son dies through dehydration. Meaning, and didn't Rabbi Chanina just promise like his children are going to be protected by on any kind of waterfront? So I'm certainly a little bit confused in terms of how to make good sense of the Gemara over here. We're going to end today on that story. Tomorrow, last off, we'll pick it up with the Mishnah. We'll pick it up tomorrow with the Mishnah. In the meantime, however, let's quickly recap our daf today. So you see a person actually die, so you could testify, but if you see the person who suffered even what is a critical wound, so you can't testify. So that's not perfectly true. If the critical wound is such where there's no question the person's going to die, so let's say, for example, his throat was slit and both trachea and esophagus were both slit, so the person is going to die and there's no question. It may take a moment, but he will die. So then you can testify. The Gemara took us for a moment into the world of Gullus. That person who accidentally slit somebody's throat is not going to be sent into Gullus. So the Gemara says, yeah, but Gullus has a different set of rules in terms of when you're being sent to Gullus. Death has to be occurring instantaneously with no contributing factors. When it comes to killing somebody memazid, if what you did will kill the individual, even if they're contributing factors, so then by mazid, you're considered a murderer. Rav Yehuda ben Bava says that decomposition is not a constant. Rav Yehuda ben Bava says it's not limited to just 3 days. Now, we don't know, did Rav Yehuda ben Bava come to be machmer, come to be mekel? The Gemara asked the question. The Gemara never really arrived at a conclusion in terms of how to properly understand Rav Yehuda ben Bava. The Mishnah, Kuf Chaf Aleph Amud Aleph, talks about falling into a body of water. A machlokus in terms of whether a distinction is to be made in terms of what kind of body of water. After we went through the Gemara, we know that a distinction is made. Maim she'ein lamsof, maim she'esh lamsof. The basic point of the daf today, the Gemara reviewed this point numerous times today. Maim she'ein lamsof, meaning that as you are in this body of water, you cannot see the shorelines, right? It's just this mass body of water. Just drive down Palmetto and you will see maim she'ein lamsof. So under those circumstances, so now the concern is that even though he went under, it could be the current took him, and it could be that he emerged well outside our view. So maim she'ein lamsof, so you cannot allow the wife to remarry because of the concern that maybe the person survived. On the other hand, maim she'yesh lamsof, where you see the borders, and the person went down and he never emerged. So then you could assume that the person died, and then you can go and you can report this over to the wife, and the wife can remarry. Okay. There are a couple of other considerations the Gemara spoke about. Fish caves became part and parcel of our discussion. Even if it looks like a stagnant body of water, the Gemara says you should not assume that. Even quote unquote stagnant bodies of water have some sort of current to them. On the bottom of the Amud, we talked about falling into a pit of lions, a pit of snakes and scorpions, a distinction to be made, a debate whether a distinction should be made. And finally, the last thing that we discussed today is this story with Nechunya. Let's just end off the summary with Nechunya. So Nechunya was Chofer Shichin. He was a cave digger and he excavated in order to make sure that there were good water sources. And meanwhile, his daughter fell into the water, and Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa said nothing to worry about. She survived. And in fact, she did as he prophetically said so. Although the Gemara certainly describes it as being a nace.